You're listening to World Update from the BBC in London. I'm Julian Marshall. Coming up behind the scenes in the vaccination programme around Osama bin Laden's compound in Pakistan from some of the medical staff taking part.
One of the vaccination drives was in Bilaltown, where the bin Laden compound is. Dr. Afridi and a colleague knocked on the compound door, but there was no answer. Dr. Afridi made a phone call. He then told my colleague that the women in the bin Laden house had to be vaccinated.
Plus, what does this scene from Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice have to do with game theory?
Mr. Darcy is engaged to my daughter. Now, what have you to say?
Only this, that if he is so, you can have no reason to suppose he'll make an offer to me.
We'll have the answer later, but we begin in Spain, where in the past few hours, marathon bomb suspects. Game theory is the study of strategic decision-making and is used to analyse phenomena as diverse as nuclear brinkmanship and stock trading. Typically, game theory assesses all the choices available to two or more people in a given situation and assigns a numerical value to each choice. Often the choice that is most valuable to one player comes at the expense of the other, hence game theory's best-known phrase, zero-sum game. But according to US game theory expert Michael Che, 150 years before the theory was invented, the British author Jane Austen used the very same concepts in all six of her novels, albeit with very different language. In a new book out this week, Mr. Che identifies 50 strategic manipulations used by Jane Austen, and he explained to me how he'd stumbled on the connection.
I just started watching movies with my kids. We first saw Clueless, which is an adaptation of Emma. And it just seemed very clear that one of the big issues in this movie is manipulation, how people think about if I do action X, what actions will other people take? And that's kind of what I study in game theory. In game theory, we do it mathematically, but it seemed like Austen was really interested in strategic thinking and this kind of social behavior. Then I started reading her novels and I just got more and more involved.
Well, let's just hear an excerpt from the film of Pride and Prejudice. This is a confrontation between Lady Catherine and Elizabeth Bennet.
Miss Bennet, you ought to know I am not to be trifled with. A report of an alarming nature reached me 2 days ago. I was told not only that your sister was to be most advantageously married, but that you, Miss Elizabeth Bennet, would be soon afterwards united to my own nephew, Mr. Darcy. Oh, I know it must be a scandalous falsehood.
If you believed it to be impossible, I wonder you took the trouble of coming so far. What would your ladyship propose by it?
At once to insist upon having such a report universally contradicted.
Your ladyship has declared it to be impossible.
It ought to be so. This match to which you have the presumption to aspire can never take place. Now, what have you to say?
Only this, that if he is so, you can have no reason to suppose he'll make an offer to me.
We heard there Lady Catherine demanding that Elizabeth refuse to marry Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth refusing to do so. Now, what has that got to do with game theory?
Well, Lady Catherine is trying to get Elizabeth to promise to never marry Mr. Darcy. Elizabeth refuses to make such a promise. Lady Catherine then goes back and tells Mr. Darcy of Elizabeth's refusal. Lady Catherine should never have told Mr. Darcy of Elizabeth's refusal, because this allows Mr. Darcy then to realize that Elizabeth still likes him, and therefore Mr. Darcy then proposes. That's an example where I think Lady Catherine is duped by Elizabeth. Lady Catherine is clueless. She doesn't realize that she's sealing her own doom. She's carrying a message to Mr. Darcy, which makes Mr. Darcy then propose, which is exactly what she doesn't want to happen.
And you reckon that you've identified 50 examples of what you call strategic manipulations in the works of Jane Austen?
Yes, many. I mean, if you look at the word scheme in her six novels, it comes up like 130 times. At least 50 are specific schemes. Like, for example, when Ms. Bennet asks Jane to go to Netherfield in the very beginning of Pride and Prejudice on the horseback in the rain because she's thinking that Mr. Bingley will ask her to stay the night, and therefore she'll get to spend more time with Mr. Bingley. So Elizabeth Bendis calls this a good scheme. I think this is a very important aspect of the novels, and in some sense it's an insight into Austen's way of thinking about human behavior, I think.
I mean, I was wondering about that, because, I mean, you've chosen to interpret the novels through the prism of game theory. I mean, could it not just be that Jane Austen was simply a very astute observer of human behavior?
No, of course. I mean, she was, of course, a very astute observer. But what's interesting is her theoretical choices are very similar to that of game theory. In other words, she thinks very much in terms of choice, for example, not so much of emotion or habit or instinct. She thinks very much in terms of being able to predict what other people do. And some of the things she says are almost straight out of an economics textbook. Like, there's this concept of opportunity cost. That is, you know, when I make an action, I have to think about whether that action is better than some other thing. So, for example, in Emma, like, Emma once talks with her friend, Ms. Weston, about why Jane Fairfax spends so much time with Ms. Elton, who's kind of a silly person. And then Ms. Weston says, well, before we evaluate why Jane spends so much time with Miss Elton, we have to consider what she quits. In other words, we have to consider what she has at home. That little episode has nothing to do with the plot. It's just a little episode about Austen's trying to sort of give us a little parable about how people make decisions and how you have to think about the alternatives.
Do you think that Jane Austen wasted her skills in writing books, that she'd have been better off being a military strategist?
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, I think the books are masterpieces, and I think that, you know, of course, many things are going on in her novels. I'm not going to say that my take is the only take, and I'm not saying that she'd be better off doing something else. I will say that, I mean, that I think this really was an interest of hers, and she was interested in it long before, you know, a lot of people who call themselves social scientists were interested in it. She anticipated a lot of ideas which we now in social science take for granted, and which we only came up with maybe 50 or 60 years ago. Austen was very interested in how high-ranking people can be foolish, and how high-ranking people don't anticipate the strategicness of low-ranking people. And this is a subject which I think is very apical to many things, but game theorists now today still haven't really thought about too much.
Michael Che on Jane Austen, the Game Theorist. The Famous Five meet up in Dallas later. LD, CBS Radio in Dallas. And that's all from World Update for today. I'm Julian Marshall. Thanks for listening.